اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا أول الأولين الآخرين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحت كل عصام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك، وأن توزعني شكرك، وأن تلمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع، أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك. ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيت وكم من مكروه دفعت وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك، أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي، ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك، وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي في قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني، ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري، وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي. يا إلهي وسيدي وربي، أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك، وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك، ولهج به لساني من ذكرك، واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك. هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته، أو تبعد من أدنيته، أو تشرد من آويت، أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعا وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعا وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما كذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوم يسير بقاء قصير مدة فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدة ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأناديينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجنا فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرق لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبه لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين وأن تجل ثناؤك. قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته كتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفر أو خطأ تستر يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيته يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد، ومن كادني فكد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، وعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي، وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقم، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالم لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، صلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا
وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. One of the teachings that we have in the Holy Quran, which is very important for us as believers to understand and to truly believe, is an idea that's expressed in the Holy Quran, or it's an idea that's been expressed in the Holy Quran in different ways. And it stems from Tawheed. Tawheed is the ultimate goal for all of us. Achieving Tawheed from within. Not oneness with Allah, oneness of Allah. Coming to a point of realization and recognition of the truth of there being one Ilah, one God, and only that. In the accurate meaning of that word and that sentence and phrase. Of course, Tawheed has got different aspects, different areas to focus on for us to gradually come to that one truth. One of the aspects of it which we're focusing on has to do with the context of the struggle of the believers against the disbelievers. The Quran talks about the struggle between the believers and the disbelievers in, I think I can say, most of the verses of the Quran, either in the form of the stories of previous nations and their struggles, or the commands and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to that struggle and for us in our context, or it is talking about the result of and the outcome in the hereafter of this struggle and what happens and how that pans out in the hereafter. Most of the verses of the Quran have to do with that, from the verses that talk about Shaitan to and Adam. All of those are talking about the struggle between the believers and the disbelievers one way or another. Most of the Quran has that line and that theme in it. It can be found. More specifically though, the struggle that is not the type of struggle that we struggle within in terms of the inner battle with the shayateen and the nafs, although it's involved with that, because every battle with the external kufr and disbeliever has an element of a battle within. But the outside battle, the outward battle, the one that is external, outside of us, that battle of ours, that struggle of ours, there are verses of the Holy Quran that talk about this struggle with this general theme. I'm not giving it a particular wording of the Quran, then I'll try to, once I give it a title where we can understand what we're talking about, then I'll give you a couple of examples of the verses of the Quran. The idea is that you're only doing your taklif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to complete His will, which is the victory of the believers, and that whether you are apparently defeated or apparently win a battle as a believer, you're always a winner as long as you follow that. This general idea, it's all related. The idea that whatever we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the one who will make it happen. It's not us that are doing it. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has willed it and it will happen. And that whether on the material level, it looks as though we have won a battle or we have been defeated in that battle, either way, we have won. This idea. Some verses that are related to this. The one that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is His will and He's going to make it happen. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا ولو كره المشركون. In Surah Tawbah it says, ولو كره المشركون. Surah Fath it says, وكفى بالله شهيدا. There's a third time that ayah or that line, that sentence is mentioned. Again it says, ولو كره المشركون, or perhaps ولو كره الكافرون. Three times it's mentioned. That particular sentence, the idea is mentioned in other ways as well. The idea that God is doing it, you're not the one who's doing it, even though you're part of that struggle, you're doing your share, you're only doing your taklif. That's all you're supposed to do. You're not the one that's going to defeat them. You're not going to be the one that's going to win this battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do it. One of the very well-known, very clear instances of it is, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. When the Prophet is involved as the leader of the Muslimin, there's no one that has been more active in this struggle, in this battle, on the material realm, from the beginning to the end of time. The Holy Prophet is the champion of it all. That person who is the champion of the struggle between Iman and Kufr, from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time, the last Imam, the Imam of our time, is going to be following the Holy Prophet, not going ahead of him. He will be following the Holy Prophet. That means the champion of this struggle and this battle is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. God says to him who is involved in this battle and who is moving forward and doing what he's doing, you're not throwing those stones in that struggle against the kuffar. You're not doing it. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. Other verses, إِنَّمَا النَّصْرُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Victory is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea that the believers, if they're doing their taklif, they are victors, they are winners, they have won, regardless of them seeming to be defeated in a battle or otherwise, there's verses of the Holy Quran, and then something that we should be seeing from the life of the Prophet and for the life of the Imams, if we put that along with the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah, then Allah will help you and He will make you steadfast on His path. Well, if He did that, if that's a promise, He will help you, He will assist you. Okay. Did Imam al-Husayn not assist God's religion? Yes, he did. Then the promise is true. God helped him. Whether we see it or not, since that verse is true, apparently Imam al-Husayn lost the battle. He was killed. But we should know, since the verse says, if you help God's cause, God will help you, Imam al-Husayn was the winner. And once we start using divine words to analyze history, as opposed to our untrained, untamed, ignorant eyes of understanding history, once we start with that, then we start to realize, of course Hussein won the battle. Of course Hussein won the battle. And therefore, this is an instance. Imam al-Hussein for himself, besides the effects of what he did, Imam al-Hussein with his very shahada, before the effects of the shahada, the effects of that shahada, the effects of what Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom along with his family had for the world during that time all the way until the Day of Judgment, that's the rewards for what Imam al-Hussein's shahada was. Imam al-Hussein's shahada was his personal victory. The rest of it is God's rewards for that he won. He won that on both of those levels, internally and externally, he won that. That's a general idea that we should find and put these two, the imams, apparently, and focusing on this, apparently Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't get government, did he? 25 years he didn't have government, didn't he? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what we know? So that means apparently he didn't win. Based on this verse, he won even in those cases. And then once you analyze, true ulama have understood this. There's a line I never forget. This is where all this started coming. It's from the Quran, but unfortunately, sometimes we need something that we can call a shafi'a, someone who can be our the person we intercede. It's our wasila, our utility, something or someone that assists us in getting to that meaning. I saw it from the leader. The leader said that never did Ali ibn Abi Talib lose in any battlefield. Even if apparently they lost the battle of Siffin, Ali didn't lose the battle. The Muslimin, his followers lost that battle. They didn't do their share. Ali never lost. Ali ibn Abi Talib never lost. He's the one that was consistently mu'min. This is what we mean. Doing our takleef consistently. It, as long as that's happening, it doesn't matter what happens externally. If nobody comes on board, nobody assists, they end up slaughtering us. If we do our takleef, we won that battle. Everybody else sees it otherwise, but that's the fact of the matter. We won the battle. The verse that more explicitly states that particular fact is وَمَا تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا or يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. It compares the mu'mineen and those against the mu'mineen in that verse. It says that the mu'mineen are awaiting for the ones they're struggling against, which is not our focus, but it's an important point, so I will translate this bit. It says, what the mu'mineen are awaiting and anticipating for their opponents in this battle, meaning the disbelievers and the munafiqeen, is one of two things. Either God punishes them through our hands or through His punishment without the use of our hands. Either way, they're losers. This is very important. Even if they don't lose from us, even if they think they won the battle over us and they killed us, they didn't win it. They're losers. That's that side of it, but that's not our focus, our side. It says, are they not waiting or are you not waiting, the ones addressing the opponents, except for one of two good outcomes. It's either we will win over you or you will kill us, which we have won either way. You imprison us, we win. You don't imprison us, we defeat you, we win. Both ways we're winners. A mu'min, a believer, is consistently winning as long as he is consistently a believer, which means that they believe and they put that into practice. They're doing their takleef. This is very important. It's very important for whom? For those who are in the struggle. That's why the Quran states these facts. The Quran is first and foremost for those who struggle in the way of Allah. Prophets, our Prophet, who's the first one addressed by the Quran and is the best one in implementing the Quran, is the greatest mujahid fi sabilillah of all times. Then it's Ali ibn Abi Talib and the rest of the imams, all of the ma'sumin. They're the top-notch mujahideen fi sabilillah, and they're the ones who were addressed by the Quran first and foremost. So the Quran is addressing mujahideen fi sabilillah, and it states it: لا يستوي القاعدين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. Those who are sitting and they're not willing to take any harm, they do not equate, they're not equal to those who fight in the way of Allah. There could be good people too, but they're not fighting, they're not the same. Anyhow, this is for mujahideen. We have mujahideen amongst us. I'm addressing those who are trying to be, of those who are struggling in the way of Allah against tyranny, against wrong, against evil, against kufr, against disbelief, against those who are fighting God and His creation. If you're one of those, this is very important. If you want to be one of those, this is very important. These teachings are very important. I want to give a practical context. We have an example that we have, and we need to understand this, and I want to analyze our behavior towards what's happening. We have some who are doing jihad fi sabilillah. They're there, and they're over here in these countries. We're not talking about those who are taking the picking up weapons like guns and so on in when mu'mineen and muslimin are attacked with guns and bombs, and so they need to defend with guns and bombs. We're not talking about those brothers and sisters who are involved with that type of a struggle. Right here, the struggle of clarifying the truth and presenting the truth to a people who are consistently being lied to and misinformed. That's a jihad. These people don't like that. What do? They try to go and take some of them, make them examples for those who are not taken, so everybody starts freaking out. Everybody takes that as a lesson. Particularly, Sayyid Muzammil Zaidi is the most recent example of this. He's been taken. He's out on bail with restrictions. He's not living a normal life now. He's living a difficult life on an apparent level. And God knows what the fate of this court, which is entirely illegitimate. Whatever decision they come to is illegitimate. Even if they release him, it was illegitimate for them to take him into the court and put the restrictions that they have on him right now. This is illegitimate. And they will burn in hellfire for this. One of their crimes will be exactly this. One of the children of the Prophet is being held. He cannot leave his house as he wishes. There's restrictions on him. His family does not feel secure. His children do not feel the same. They don't have the peace of mind that a child should have. Why? Because an illegitimate court has caused this, even if they put off all charges as they should. That's what we expect, so that this crime that has already been committed does not continue, and they stop it at some point. Maybe they'll be redeemed for some of the wrong they have done in this particular case, amongst all the other wrong cases that they've been involved in. Anyhow, we have this scenario, we have this situation. We have a brother who's been part of this struggle for a number of years, and he's working towards a goal. What is that? Towards the coming of our imam. One of the elements which is necessary is provide people with correct information. He went to Syria, shot images, videos to show people what's actually happening. If you have doubts, you don't know if RT is right or BBC is right or CNN is right or whatever, here's some personal footage. You know me, you know my family, here it is. This is what we saw. This is what's going on the ground. These people need help. And so on and so forth. The other videos that he's been involved with in Qum, in making, and so on and so forth. The objective is this: to inform the public, inform people, whoever has ears, whoever is not fully asleep, whoever is has got an open mind to thinking of an alternative outlet that is presenting the truth as it sees right, which is the correct truth. They've been involved with that. This is their objective. So when they're moving in that, the hope is and the want is, the desire is that we defeat this empire of misinformation that spreads misinformation globally, has affected the minds of people globally, from the Americas to Africa and Europe, and to Asia and Australia. The whole world is affected negatively with this empire, this news empire, media empire. It's not just news, Hollywood and so on and so forth. So the desire is, with the limited, extremely limited means we have, comparatively, to struggle in the way of Allah, defeat that empire of news and media. In the process of doing that, obviously he's going to travel back and forth, and the place that he's lived for and has residency, perhaps, I'm not sure what his status is the U.S., and his family are here, his late father was here, his mother is here, his siblings are here, his nephews and nieces, his friends, everybody's here, and he has every right to be here. Everybody in the world has every right to be here, whether they allow him in or they don't. That's the problem of the system. Anyhow, he comes in and so on. So in the process, what happens? They imprison him. They take him. They accuse him of things. Even the accusations aren't right. The real crime of this person is what I stated. That's his crime. Everything else is an excuse. This is the real crime in their eyes that he has committed. And you can see it. I didn't listen to the session, but it was presented to me, the details of what was said in bullet points. And it was clear. They were spouting and fuming. Everything that was coming was all hatred against the movement and the leadership of the movement and the connection of this individual with that, in ways that they're lying about his connection. He doesn't have those connections. Anyhow, so this is what happens. A believer goes and then they do this. There's one thing about the believer that I'm going to explain, but before that, I want to state what the approach of those who have engaged in this, have spoken about this, what the approaches are. One approach that I have seen, I think most people have this approach, is the approach of, oh my God, the Sayyid, we need to help him, his family is this, children are that, we need to get him out, and so on and so forth. It's so bad the way they're treating him. Basically, it's out of feeling sorry for a person. Feeling like this person is in need of my help, in need of our help. Let's go gather funds for a legal team. We need the best legal team that we could get. What's the best legal team in the belly of the beast? What's the biggest, but the best legal team in a legal system that's devilish? What's the best legal team in a system that the law is with the kuffar, giving the right to the kuffar? What are we talking about here? Do we even know what we're talking about? Some of these comments sound like we have some hope for the justice system here. Whoever has any hope in this justice system has completely misunderstood the Quran in Islam. What hope in the justice system? It's a battle. Yes, we need to battle that, but not the best legal team. Inshallah, we'll get him out with the best legal team. No, Allah. We have our hope only in Allah. We rely only on Him. He has given us the taklif to fight this battle with the best tools. If the best tools are to get some of these lawyers, and I encourage to get Muslim lawyers, find Muslim lawyers that believe in Islam, not Muslim lawyers that carry the name of Islam, but they know nothing of Islam. And if they come forward, they're not coming forward thinking this is a battle for Allah and the justice system in its entirety. Not that court, not that judge, not that prosecutor, not that government representative, not the FBI, the whole justice system is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim that has this mentality, find lawyers that have this mindset, this mentality, use them for this. If you don't, I don't think you're using the best options over there. I think the best options for that battle are believers who are familiar with the law and have studied it inside out and know it very well, better than the kuffar themselves. There should be some, and if there aren't, I hope some develop, and they do that jihad. Anyhow, so people think that we're feeling sorry and we need, let's go get this, hopefully we get him out. The whole mindset is that a person is being hurt and we need to help him. This mindset is not a correct mindset because it doesn't correctly understand what's happening here. You don't have a person that is attacked for no reason. You don't have a person here that is doing nothing, just living their ordinary life like everyone else who is sitting, as the verse says, and not fighting in the way of Allah. This is not that type of a person. This is a person that has chosen to do jihad fi sabilillah. For that person, for such people, their mindset, according to the Quran, is this. They see, if I am imprisoned, I am a winner. If I am released, I am a winner. If at the end of this court, they decide, for all the wrong reasons, Muzammil Zaidi is going to be incarcerated, then Muzammil Zaidi is going to say, Alhamdulillah. كفى بالله وكيلا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Thank you Allah for this victory. Victory is what you give to whomever you give. I did my taklif, and now you want me to go through this. I am glad and I will take it, every bit of it. And I will do my taklif in prison. You think I'm going to sit in prison? You think I'm going to give up? If you think that you can incarcerate me and I'm going to stop that jihad fi sabilillah, then you have misunderstood who we are. Now, this is not how things work here. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Allah, whether I am outside of prison or inside of prison. Whether I have limitations or I don't have limitations. And Allah suffices. We read those words and we mean them. Hasbunallah. God is sufficient. If you can't understand what this means because you think you rely on your money, on your power, on your weapons, on your influence, on the influence that you are losing every day with this idiot as your president, you can't even get a couple of your close allies with you in Europe anymore. You can't even get a few people, except for the tiniest losing countries in the Security Council, to vote for what you want. At losing influence, you losers. If you think you rely on all these things, so if a person is deprived of them, then you think they're losers. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices us. If I have no means on earth, nothing available, no food, no water, no drink, no light, no nothing. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. God is sufficient. This is the mind of a person like Sayyid Muzammil Zaidi. This is the mindset of a believer. Well, this is what the Quran teaches us. A believer who is doing jihad fi sabilillah, if you want to be part of this, you should know this. If you start that struggle, they give you hardship, if you think that's defeat, then don't start this struggle. Don't get involved in it. Don't get involved in it. Because you should know what's going to come your way. If it came for the Ahlul Bayt, if Musa ibn Ja'far was imprisoned, if Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari, for almost all their lives, were under house arrest, then we will be under house arrest. If the Prophet faced sanctions and embargoes, he was restricted to Sha'bu Abi Talib for 3 years without food or water or anything. With all those believers, then we will face that as believers who are part of this struggle. You need to know that when that happens, that doesn't mean defeat. The Quran teaches us whether we momentarily, in a material way, we win that battle or we don't. Either way, we're winners as long as we're doing our taklif. And so the idea is, when things like this happen, we continue doing our taklif. You incarcerate me? Musa ibn Ja'far says, put me in prison. That's fine. I'm going to do my taklif. In prison, I do my taklif. Whatever that taklif is. Imam al-Askari, you want to put me on house arrest? Go ahead, put me on house arrest. I'm going to do my taklif. I'm going to have my son, who's going to be the 12th Imam. And I'm going to hide him so you guys won't know about him. I'll do my taklif. You can do whatever you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. So brothers and sisters, if you're involved with this case, I hope that at least some of you, some of us, start to understand what this really is about. And join this, if you will, the way a mu'min and mu'mina is supposed to join this, with the right understanding. We're not dying just to save Muzammil Zaidi. We're dying to save Islam. We're dying to protect Islam. We're dying to spread Islam. If a person goes through hardship for Islam, that is an honor for them. And an honor badge on their chest that we see. While we are affected by the hardship that they face, as we are affected by the hardships that Imam al-Hussein faced, and we cry for that, those tears are not the tears of weakness, are not the tears of seeing a person hurt. It is the tears of seeing a great man in his struggle in the way of Allah be treated that way, that when this tear trickles down our cheeks, it causes us to gain that strength to do exactly the same. We're going to go so far that you're going to be so angry against us, you'll slaughter us. And that'll be a badge of honor on the chest of whomever is able to attain that. I remember, again, one of the beautiful lines. These are the explanations of the Quran in the contemporary context. The leader mentioned, he said, Shaheed As-Sadr, Sayyid Muhammad Baqir As-Sadr, may Allah bless his soul, he said, he acquired such a rank that shahada in that difficult way was a great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. A great reward. We look at that, we're like, oh my God, he was tortured, he was hurt, this, that, the other. So that's a reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And that's right. That's what the Quran says. أَلْتَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. One of two good things, and the better one is shahada. And going back to the first point, whether I am in prison or not, they imprisoned Musa ibn Ja'far. They killed Imam al-Hussein. They killed 13 of our 14 ma'sumeen, one way or another, as the hadith. Now, how did it go? 13 of our ma'asum, they killed. Did the movement stop? Did the light of Allah get extinguished? Or did it get brighter and brighter? So we know, if they imprison this brother or that sister, because they're doing jihad in the way of Allah, that is a reward for them, and it's a cause for Islam to grow and to glow. This is a reality, brothers and sisters. I hope that we're able to understand this with the right understanding of this idea that the Quran tells us, and believing it, not just understanding it. If you understand it, doesn't mean we believe it. If we believe it, then we will act on it. You will see that the momentum that the movement has currently will increase, because more believers, brothers and sisters, believe in this and fearlessly move forward. The reason why they don't fear is that they know everything is in God's hands. And while they're doing their taklif, no matter what happens, they're winners. And hardship, especially if it leads to death, is a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all in that way. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya صلى الله على أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. روحي فداك يا أبا عبد الله. If you only had 100 or so, less than 200 or 300 soldiers on the day of Ashura, your blood has watered the souls of the believers in this age. Those seeds are now sprouting. We have believers who are willing to go to prison and who are willing to give their lives for your cause, ya Aba Abdullah. We ask you, the way you have brought them to life, you've brought their hearts to life. You've given them courage, the Husayni courage, to sacrifice, ya Aba Abdullah. My heart is still asleep. My heart is still not willing. My heart is still cowardly. My heart is still not willing to go through hardship. My heart is still not filled with the bravery that is resembling your companions, ya Aba Abdullah, ruhi fidak. I know many times I say salams to you. I read Ziyarat Ashura. I read the lines. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم. I befriend your friends. I'm at peace with those who are at peace with you. I'm at war with those who are at war with you. I read those lines, but I see I fail. I'm not willing to put a fight up against those who are fighting your cause. Ya Aba Abdullah, I don't know what else to read. Those believers read the same lines. Those believers said the same words. Why is it that their prayers are accepted? And I'm still struggling. I'm still not able to come out and sacrifice. Ya Aba Abdullah, I know it's not from your end. I know whatever it is, it's a problem from me. It's my words that are not truthful. It's my actions that are not true to those words. It's my failures, ya Aba Abdullah. So I beg you on this Thursday night, on this night of mercy, on this night of Ziyarah, that we would love to be with you, that you cure my heart, relieve me of the cowardice, Relieve me of my problems. Take me as these believers. Take me to be able to join them. Take me to be able to stand. Take me to be willing to be incarcerated. Take me for being ready to give my life by the hands of your enemies, Ya Abu Abdullah. Ya Mawla, I ask you by the right of your little daughter, the Lady Sakina, brothers and sisters, this three-year-old was involved with jihad in the way of Allah. It wasn't only that she was brought to Karbala after Ashura, her battle begins. In fact, on the day of Ashura, it began. The patience they had, it was really getting too tough when they came and asked for water. They made sure, they tried their best not to come and ask. The patience of theirs was their jihad. But after Ashura, the cries of Sakina, the words of Sakina, or her battle, that's why she was hit so much. That's why she was beaten so much. Ya Aba Abdullah, by the right of this three-year-old of yours, by the right of her hands that resembled the arm of your mother, by the right of her ribs that resembled the ribs of your mother, by the right of her face who resembled the face of your mother, we ask you, Ya Aba Abdullah, I ask you, I want to address you, O Ruqayya or Sakina. I know you do wonders. You're a Shafi. We always do tawassul to you. I have seen what tawassul to you does. I ask you, my beloved lady, Salamullahi alayki, can you ask your father to help us join his cause? Inshallah, Bibi Sakina accepts us, intercedes for us with those little hands of hers, and Abu Abdullah al-Hussein will accept us. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Sara chaman udaas kali bhi khili nahi. Sara chaman udaas kali bhi khili nahi. Sara chaman udaas kali bhi खिले नहीं रोए नागर तो मौत है जिंदा दिली नहीं रोए नागर तो मौत है जिंदा दिली नहीं सारा चमन उदास कली भी खिली नहीं सारा चमन उदास कली भी खिली नहीं असगर को एक घूंट जो पानी न मिल सका असगर को एक घूंट जो पानी न मिल सका कम दर्फी है फुरात ये दरिया दिली नहीं کم ظرف یہ فرات یہ دریا دلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں روئیں ناگر تو موت ہے زندہ دلی نہیں روئیں ناگر تو موت ہے زندہ دلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں اصغر کاظم پوچھیے ہرمل کے تیر سے اصغر کاظم پوچھیے ہرمل کے تیر سے گردن تنی رہی ہے ذرا سی کھلی نہیں گردن تنی رہی ہے ذرا سی ہلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی ہلی نہیں روئیں ناگر تو موت ہے زندہ دلی نہیں روئیں ناگر تو موت ہے زندہ دلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں یہ درد کوئی پوچھے جناب بطول سے یہ درد کوئی پوچھے جناب بطول سے اپنے پدر کی جس کو وراثت ملی نہیں اپنے پدر کی جس کو وراثت ملی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں روئیں ناگر تو موت ہے زندہ دلی نہیں روئیں ناگر تو موت ہے زندہ دلی نہیں سارا چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں چمن اداس کلی بھی کھلی نہیں سن لو ظہیر کی غم شبیر ہے نجا سن لو ظہیر کی غم شبیر ہے نجا کہنا نہ پھر حضور شفاعت ملی نہیں کہنا نہ پھر حضور شفاعت ملی نہیں یا حسین 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 اللهم صل على
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله ويا خاتم النبيين وصفوة المرسلين صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين صلى الله عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن بن علي أيها المجتبى صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا رحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله روحي فداك عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.